Our series that I've entitled Leave It All Behind, and I've entitled this sermon Leave It All Behind, Anger, dealing with anger today. So if you have your Bibles, turn them to Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. And as you're doing that, I will pray for us. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father, as we open your word, Father, we begin and ask that you would just open up yourself to us in understanding and in wisdom. Father, increase in us the wisdom and the knowledge of your word. And Father, that we could put it into practice in our lives. And Father, that because of your word, we will be better. We will be better people. So Father, we just put ourselves before you as your congregation, as your church. And we ask you to speak to us, speak into us, change our lives. And Father, as always, as I stand here before you and these people, I ask, Father, that you would forgive me of my sins, that there would be nothing that would hinder your Holy Spirit from working. And Father, that if I am the person that you would choose to speak, I would just think that was an awesome privilege. If I am not the person that you would choose to speak, that you would silence my lips, and you would rise up the one that would speak for you this day. For it is your glory and honor that we do all of this, that you would be glorified. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Steve Tran of Westminster, California had a problem. Anybody here ever have a problem? Well, Steve had a problem, but Steve had a problem with roaches. He had a problem with roaches, so he went down to the hardware store and he picked up a can of cockroach spray foggers. You know, those aerosol can foggers. And he looked at the can, and he read the back of the can, he read the directions on the back of the can, and he realized that for an apartment that his size, the apartment size that he had, he only needed two cans of the fogger to set off in his apartment to rid himself of those nasty bugs that were there, those cockroaches. So he found out he needed two cans, so he bought 25 of them. And he went home to his little apartment, and he activated all 25 cans and walked out the front door and shut the front door behind him. And he thought to himself, I'm going to rid myself completely of this problem once and for all. Now, the only thing was in this was this. I mean, that was a great idea, right? I mean, more is better, right? The only thing was in this, when all the fog from the 25 different cans in that little small apartment reached the pilot light on his stove, there was an explosion. It was an explosion that was so big that it blew the front door clear across the street from his house. It blew every window in the apartment out, and it caught his furniture on fire. And so when they interviewed him, having estimated that he had done about $10,000 worth of damage to his apartment, this is what he said. He said this, I just wanted to take care of the problem. I just wanted to do it so it would have to take care, so it would take care of all the roaches in the apartment. So he blew the place up. Needless to say, overkill, amen? And the issue is this. Here's the issue with this. 3 days later, what did he see crawling all over his apartment again? Cockroaches. Now, you know, that's a lot like anger. I'm telling you this to show you this. That's a lot like anger. So many times when we get angry, it's overkill. It's way over the top, and we think we are going to solve some kind of problem by exploding in anger. And all we do is this, is we discover that we have damaged a lot of people and we still have the issue. The issue didn't go away, but we still have this issue. And the issue really isn't really who made us mad. That's not the real issue. The issue is our own anger. Now take your Bibles and go to Ephesians chapter 4, where we are in a series that I've called Leave It All Behind. And we have been looking at sins that we struggle with as Christians. I'm not talking to the lost, I'm talking to the saved. And we have been looking at this, the struggle that Christians have. Sins that you and I, as Christians, on a daily basis, are confronted with. Because we still have these, confronted with, he says, what? Because we still live in the flesh. Remember that. We're still here. We still live in the flesh. But now, here's the good word Paul is saying. We don't have to be a slave to these sins anymore. Amen? We don't have to bow to them. They don't have to control us. Because when we were saved, we put off the old self, and we are being renewed in our mind. How? By the word of God, right? That's how we're being renewed in our mind, by the word of God. Day by day, or we should be, and we put off, we put on the new self. We put off the old self, and we're putting on the new self by being in God's word every day. So Paul says we don't have to be slave to these things again. We're going to feed ourselves spiritually so that we can overcome the flesh. We don't have to be slaves to these things anymore. And last week, what we looked at lying, right? We looked at lying. And this morning, we're going to look at being good and mad. We're going to look at being good and mad. Now, I say it like that to say this. The question arises is this. Can you be mad and good at the same time? Can you be mad and good at the same time? And Paul will point this out today. In fact, if you look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, you'll notice this. Paul says this in verse 26. He says, be angry. That's kind of a flip-flop of what he had just said about lying, right? In verse 25, he said, put away lying. Now he turns and he says, be angry. Can you be angry and not sin? Well, over 200 times in the Old Testament, God's word tells us that God was angry. In fact, Psalm chapter 7, verse 11 says that God is angry with the wicked every day, meaning God is angry at sin, because you come across several times in the gospel when Jesus is angry. We can look in the New Testament and see where Jesus is angry, like in Mark chapter 3, when the man with the withered hand comes into the synagogue and all the Pharisees are watching, and they're watching to see, is Jesus going to heal this man? And Jesus became angry with them. Also, there was the occasion when the disciples kept the children from Jesus. Remember that? When the disciples kept the children from coming unto Jesus, and the Bible says that he was indignant, he was angry with them because they kept the little children away from them. Then again, there's occasion that you all are well aware of when Jesus walked into the temple and the whole temple complex had become nothing more than a shopping mall, and it prohibited the worship of God. So in his anger, he turns over the tables in anger, and he takes a whip and he drives out the money changers. You all remember that, right? So the Bible tells us that God is angry, so it must be this. It must be righteous anger. So when Jesus is angry, it must be righteous anger as well, because they're one and the same, right? He had the right to be angry. His anger was a result of sin. And Paul comes and Paul says, look what he says there in verse 26. He says, be angry and do not sin. So anger is an emotion that God has created as part of who we are. Because we were created in his image, and God shows the emotion of anger, so did Jesus Christ. So anger is emotion that God has created and has given to us, and there is a right way to be angry. Now let me just tell you something. In the fall, Adam and Eve, in the fall, all of us fell. Every single one of us. Anybody here that did not fall? Right. All of us fall, right? All of us fell. Everything about us fell. In fact, not just us, but everything in creation fell. Meaning this, when we fell, you have a deficient nature. Meaning you have a fallen nature because of that fall, because of that sin issue all the way back in Adam and Eve. And that includes this. That includes your emotions. And listen, emotions are good. Emotions are a bad thing. Emotions are good. So the emotion of anger can be good, and you say, well, when is it good? Well, listen to me very carefully. When you are angry at the right things, and you're angry in the right way, then it can be said that you are angry without sinning. When you're angry at the right things, and you're angry in the right way, then it can be said that you are angry without sinning. when you are angry at the right things and you are angry in the right way. That's okay. But here's the problem. The problem is we all think when I'm angry, I'm always angry at the right things. That's what we think, right? When we get angry, we always think I'm angry at the right things and I'm always angry in the right way. So this doesn't apply to me. That's what we think. So this doesn't apply to me. Here's what I got to say to you. Ha, ha, ha. What a joke. Because that's what exactly what the flesh would have you believe. I'm justified in whatever or whatever I'm mad at. And however I react to it. The flesh would have you believe that you're justified. Listen to me what Paul's saying and what the Word of God is saying. He says that's just not so. So look very careful. Watch me. As I get ready to dive into this, watch very carefully. Don't look at those around you or those sitting next to you and say, it's your fault. Because I'm telling you, that's already going on. You're already thinking about maybe somebody sitting next to you or somebody in your family, somebody at work, and you're looking people that you know around you, and you say, it's your fault, it's their fault. Listen to me, from this point forward, this is what I need you to do. I need you not to look at others, I need you to look in a mirror. I need you to look in a mirror. So Paul comes and he's going to give you three prohibitives here, three things that he says to us about our anger. Now, before I get to that, I want to give you the four levels of anger, and you'll find in Scripture. And the first one is indignation. That's the internal anger inside. It's internal. When you're angry on the inside. Now, this plagues a lot of people. It really does. There's a lot of people that are just internally, they have this anger down in them. And listen, a lot of us know that. We know that. Some of you may be sitting here right now and you're angry on the inside and nobody else even knows it. But you're just angry about something. I don't know. Sometimes it's something from your past, some sort of hurt in your life, some sort of way that you were wronged in your life. You got some sort of pain in your life. Maybe years of a loveless marriage or something like that. I don't know. Maybe a loss of a loved one, you know, maybe a child or a spouse or a parent or something. But there's something that has happened and it's affected you inside and you're angry about it. The second level of that is wrath. We would call that angry, right? Wrath. We would call that angry. It is when your indignation becomes external and you begin to be angry and you verbalize that and you show it, right? We do that. We act out. And third level is fury. Fury is when your anger consumes your common sense. Anybody ever seen anybody angry like that? It just consumes their common sense. They act or say things. Somebody gets mad. They just get carried away. They become erratic, and they stop making any sense whatsoever. Here, the Bible would say it like this: outburst of wrath. I don't have to explain all that to you, but listen to me. You get into an argument, and you just say irrational things. You have said things hurtful. You've said attacking things that common sense would tell you is not so. It's not right. And the last one is this. The last one is rage. Rage is when you are so angry that you lose your self-control. Anger with no self-control. So I thought about opening the message today by just going through Proverbs and reading to you Proverbs. Now, why would I do that? Because there are 31 Proverbs, and I tell you that it would be a good idea to read one a day. Why? Because there's 31 of them, and there's one each day for every month. And then once you get through that one month, then start over for the next month. And what you do the next month, you start over again, and you read those Proverbs over and over and over. Why? Daily renewing what? Listen to some of these. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 18. A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention. Allays puts to rest. But he who is slow to anger puts to rest contention. Proverbs 16:32. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Proverbs 19:19. A man of great wealth will suffer punishment. A man of great wrath will suffer punishment. For if you rescue him, you will have to do it again and again and again and again. Anybody want to witness to that? Proverbs 28:8. He who sows iniquity will reap sorrow, and the road of his anger will fall. Proverbs 22, verse 24, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go. Listen, what he says here, he says, don't be friends with people like that. That's what that means. If you study that out, don't be friends with people like that. Don't even hang out with them. You know why he says that? You know why he would say something like that? Read the next verse. Lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. Proverbs 26, 21, as charcoal is to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Proverbs 29, 11, a fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. Here, let me tell you what that verse means. God calls you a fool if you can't control your anger. Now listen, I've just given you a few, but there are a lot more that God has to say about our anger. It's all over the text. It's all over the scripture. But I want you to look at these three prohibitives that are here that is possible to be angry without sin. How is it possible to be angry without sin? But I want you to listen now to what the Word of God has to say. Ephesians chapter 4, how am I to live a Christian life? How am I to be different than the rest of the world? In fact, even my anger is to be different than the anger of the world. And Lord have mercy, amen. Lord have mercy, we live in an angry day, don't we? Do we not live in an angry day? We live in an angry day, and everybody thinks everything is an issue. I mean, you have to mark exactly every word that you say and the structure of the sentence and how you say it, because somebody's going to come and diagram it and they're going to hold you accountable for it. Everything is an issue. Everything is a reason to get angry. Look at the world today. Look at the world stage today. Look at this country. Look at our government officials. Look at our marriages. I mean, my goodness, man. Anything to argue and to get mad about. Anger, 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 and more anger. You can just sense it and see it in whoever you talk to, whatever you watch, whoever you're around. You just see the anger. And we think that our anger has to be so far over the top just to get noticed. You ever watch a kid that can't get your attention? What does he do? He does something what? To get your attention, right? It has to be something over the top, right? And that's the way it is for us. Our anger has to be so, we feel that we have to be so over the top with the anger so that people will take us seriously, so that people will notice us, so that we will get the attention that we need. Now listen to what Paul says. How am I as a Christian to express and to experience anger? Well, beginning in verse 26 of Ephesians chapter 4, he tells us this. He has been telling us, put away these things. So Paul comes now and he says this, put away, point number one, put away self-centered anger. Self-centered anger, anger that is self-centered. Now, if you want to know when anger is wrong, it is when it is self-centered. Now, if you notice, I have already given you three examples of Jesus in anger. Jesus was angry and he did not sin. That's what Paul says right here. Be angry and do not sin. Jesus was angry, but he did not sin. And you look at that and you begin to say, how do I be angry and how do I be angry and not sin when my anger is not self-centered? Well, I want you to notice something. Jesus was always angry when someone else was being mistreated. I want you to pay attention to that. Jesus was always angry when someone else was mistreated. Listen, sometimes it's hard to take a stand for those who are being mistreated. Because why? Because it's going to cause someone else to be angry, right? But Jesus always stood in there when someone was being mistreated, when there was an injustice to someone else, when someone else was being wrong, when someone else was being hurt, when someone else was being punished. But Jesus never became angry when someone hurt him. I want you to notice that. Jesus never became angry when someone was hurting him. In fact, put your finger there in Ephesians 4, and I want to take you to a passage of Scripture that you really need to mark down in your Bibles, especially if you have the issue of anger in your life. And listen, a lot of us have it. Listen, you need to mark this down. You need to read this. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For to this you were called. Who's doing the calling? God, right? For this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us. Now watch, now listen. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. That means even in anger. I want to follow in the steps of Jesus Christ. Understand, there are certain men in my life that I love. There are certain men in my life that I value their opinion. I had a guy tell me this morning, well, you don't care about my opinion. I said, brother, you don't understand how much I value your opinion. There are certain men that I value their opinion, but my example of Jesus Christ, my example is Jesus Christ, not men. You understand? I mean, I have some very close men in my life that I go to for personal counsel, people that I can vent to, people I can talk to, but listen, I value them, but they are not my example. Jesus Christ is my example. And that's what he's saying right here. That's what he's saying. There's one person to model yourself after. Now look at verse 22. Who committed no sin. We're talking about Jesus Christ. Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Oh, if we could get this down, to understand when somebody wrongs us that God is going to be the ultimate judge in this. What does this mean? He committed himself to him who judges right. Meaning this, when Jesus was attacked, Jesus did not attack in return. When somebody lashed out at him, he didn't lash out back. Jesus did not defend himself. Over in Scripture, people are making accusations about Jesus. They're just one, boom, boom, boom. And you know what he does? He stands there. Remember Pontius Pilate? What did Jesus say? Nothing. Making all these actions, just stood there. When Jesus was hurt, Jesus didn't lash out to hurt someone else. When Jesus was mistreated, when Jesus experienced injustice, he did not become angry and pour his anger out on other people. However, he was angry when other people were hurt. But his anger was never self-centered. It was never about him. It was always about someone else. I mean, my goodness. When they were nailing Jesus to the cross, I mean, we have it dressed up. All the pictures we see, it's just a glorified dead Christ. But if you could really see the images of what that man endured, and then when they nailed him to the cross, what did he do? Let me ask you this question. What did he do? I mean, spikes in his wrist and his hands and his feet, beaten. What let me ask you this. Did he become angry? Did he become angry? Listen, he wasn't even guilty of anything. He didn't even do anything wrong. Let me ask you this. Did he get mad? Did he fly off into a fury and lost his grip on reality? Did he lose self-control up there hanging on the cross? Did he just start spewing hatred? Is that what he did? No. You know what he did? He's so great. He prayed for the very people who were crucifying him. And do you remember the woman caught in adultery? They were so mad. These guys that brought this woman, they were so mad. They were so angry that they were going to stone her. They were going to kill her. And what does Jesus do? He slips in between the crowd and the woman, and Jesus calms the crowd down, and he turns to the woman, having protected her from this stoning. He turns to the woman, having guarded her. This woman that we would have condemned, Jesus turns to her and says, "Neither do I condemn you. But now that you have experienced the Messiah, now you've experienced the one that can forgive this sin. Now you've experienced me. You go and sin what? No more." We don't condone the sin. Jesus did the same thing with the disciples the night in the Garden of Gethsemane when they came to arrest Jesus. What does Peter do? Peter jumps up, and what does he do? He cuts off the ear of the servant of the high priest, right? And Jesus picks it up and puts it back on the guy's head, and he heals the guy, right? I mean, just think about this. You know, we learned in Bible study that the guy wasn't really trying to cut his ear off. What was he trying to cut off? His head, right? That's what he was aiming for. But he got his ear, right? And Jesus steps in, and he picks the ear back up and puts it back. Could you imagine just seeing that? And Jesus tells Peter what? After he does it, he picks up his ear and puts it back on and heals the guy. And Jesus turns to Peter and he says what? "Put that sword away. That instrument of anger, put that thing away." He steps in between the crowd and the guards and the disciples, and he says this. He says, "I'm the one that you're looking for. Let these guys go." Oh, could we not preach on that for a minute? "I'm the one you're looking for. Let these guys go." So he moves into a place of protection. Do you see it? You see Jesus? He's always moving into a place of protection. Jesus is always guarding. He's always protecting and caring for someone else. It is always about others with Jesus. His anger is never self-centered. Now, that's just an amazing thing to me. So if you want to know this question, if you want to know, am I right? Am I right? Am I mad about the right things? And am I handling it in the right way? Well, if you want to know the answer to that, here's a clue. Here's a clue. It cannot be self-centered to be angry in the right way. Now listen to what he says. Watch this. He says, "Be angry, do not sin." Now the word that is used there in the original language for the word sin simply means this: to miss the mark. It means this, that I do have the ability to be mad at the right thing. That's okay. I do have the right to be mad about the right thing. But when I handle it in the wrong way, that is sin. Now listen, sitting here, if we get it in our mind that, "Preacher, what I'm mad about is right." You're sitting here, you know you've been stewing about something, you know you've been mad about something in some way, somehow, and you're looking at me and say, "Listen, what I'm mad about, it is right. It is right for me, preacher, to be mad about this." Okay, I agree. But if you handle it in the wrong way, it's sin. I didn't say that. God's word says that. And that is what Paul is saying to you. Be angry, yes, at the right things, but at the same time, you must be angry in the right way. Because the Bible says this, that a fool loses his temper all the time, but a wise man knows how to hold it back. Self-control, one of the gifts of the Spirit, by the way. So here's the question I have proposed to you. What would others say about your anger? When people look at you, what would they say about your anger? What would your coworkers say about your anger? What would your wife say or your husband say about your anger? What would your children say about your anger? You see, a wise man can be angry, but his anger must be in the right way. must be self-controlled. And you say, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, I want you to remember this. The word sin means to miss the mark. I get angry about something, and maybe I should be angry about it, but what do? I fly off the handle. Well, that's the wrong way. I miss the mark. I get on the internet, right? That's what I want to do. Man, I'm going to settle my anger, and I'm going to get out here on the internet, and I'm going to get all these people on my side, and they're going to be angry with me. I get on the internet, and I just blast this person or that person. I just lay them out, man. I just cut them, man. I just cut them deep right there, man. I'm going to tear them to pieces. Listen to me. That's the wrong way. I miss the mark. Or you know what a good one is? Here's what I'm going to do. You know what? I'm going to send them a nasty email. I'm going to tell them how I feel. All caps, the whole thing. You missed the mark. You missed the mark. I have discovered that if somebody doesn't say amen, we're going to go home. I have discovered that people will say things in an email or on Facebook that they will not look at you in your face or your eyes and say to you in person. Listen to me. You can throw, let me get a little protection here or something. Listen, you know what I call those people? Cowards. Oh. And for some reason, for some reason, they got it in their minds, that's not sin. Well, let me tell you something. You have handled it in the wrong way, and you've sinned. You've missed the mark. However, listen, praise God, right? However, but, right? You can be angry and not sin. You can do that. Scripture tells us we can. That means you don't let your anger get loose and miss the mark to get out of control. Now let me tell you, there are four things that make us angry, and I'm going to tell you these, and then I'm going to move to the next thing. Four things that we really have to worry with. I don't really tell you worry too much. Really, that we have to worry with, and I might show you this again next week. I'm still looking at it, and I'm not sure if I'll go there or not, but these four things in life, in the life of one of God's greatest servants, people like you and I here today, God's great servants, four areas that generally make you angry. Watch. Number one, injustice. We feel like we have not been treated justly. We feel like we've been treated right, and we will get angry. Now, that doesn't happen all the time. It does happen from time to time. But look, now here's the second thing is fear. Fear will make you angry. You get in a situation where you are fearful, and what do? You lash out in anger. You get angry. That's part of why God gave you that emotion. We call it fight or flight. You were here Wednesday night, we talked about that. You get into a situation, you get fearful, so you're either going to do one or two things. You're either going to fight or you're going to flight. It prepares you to handle something. If you are fearful of something, it will raise some anger in you. But let me tell you the next two are the two areas that raise our anger the most, I believe. Two areas that raise our anger the most. Like when it comes to the issue of hurt. I don't know about you. Somebody hurts me. I get angry. I want to share with you something that I've shared with you before. Write this down. Hurting people hurt people. And hurt people hurt people. When somebody is hurting, they will generally hurt someone else. Now, this more than anything else has helped me more than anything else. When somebody does something to me, lashes out at me, or hurts me in some kind of way, if I can stop long enough to work through this and think, this person is hurting too. Listen, it's taken me a long time to get to this place. But when somebody's doing something to to hurt me to be able to step back and say, the reason they're hurting me is because they're hurt too. They are hurting in some kind of way. Listen, I have no idea why they are hurting. Listen, it may not even be related to me. Somebody's hurting me, and it may not be related to me. You know what we call that? Collateral damage. I'm just a collateral damage, meaning it may not be related to you at all, and when they hurt you, you need to ask yourself, how can I minister to their hurt? And I want to tell you something, folks. That's not easy, but is that not exactly what Jesus did? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Then the last thing is this, and I know nobody gets this. Nobody has it. I even nobody. The last thing is this, frustration. It happens about every 5 minutes of my day, right, man? You? We get over this little frustration in life like the computer. I can't tell you how many times I took the shotgun to our computer. I can't even begin to tell you. In my head. Right? Just blow that thing, all this. I mean, it's a pump action, semi-automatic. Oh, yeah. Or how many times I just wanted to pick it up and chuck it off the back deck, right? The computer. Or this one. I really never had an issue with this. I know some people do. I really never have. Wait a minute. I preached about lying last week, didn't I? Traffic. People are so angry on the roads, aren't they? It could be anything that frustrates you, that raises anger in your life. Now listen to me carefully. Listen to what Paul says. Be angry, do not sin. Do not let your anger get out of control. Do not let your anger miss the mark. Paul says you be angry at the right thing, but you be angry in the right way. Now there are a lot of things that should make us angry. Listen to me. There's a lot of things that should make us angry. One of those things should be abortion. Now that should make us angry. The loss of our rights as Christians in this country, that should make us angry. But the world should not see us angry in the sense that they think we did not get what we wanted. Watch me. Yes, abortion should make us angry, but let me tell you something. When you throw a Molotov cocktail through the window of an abortion clinic, you have acted in sin because you have missed the mark. That's not how we handle it. So there is a right thing to be, listen, there's a right thing to be angry about, and there is a right way to be angry. And we as Christians, as God's called out ones, all of us struggle in this, and we need to overcome it and lay it aside. We need to... We need to search ourselves. Honestly, we need to search ourselves. Because I step on, I think, everybody's toes today. Mostly mine. So we need to examine ourselves. So for now, for this week, I'm going to tell you something. That's enough. That's enough. I want you all to chew on this week. And we will conclude this message next week or next time I preach. Because I want you all to take some time this week to think about your own anger. Ask yourself this: what makes me angry? Some of you, a person came to mind. Some of you, an event. A situation. But I want you to think about it. I want you to do this. I want you to really truly pray on it and ask God to reveal to you what area you fall into. First of all, do you sin in your anger? Do you get angry in the right way? Listen, only you can answer that. What makes you angry? Is it injustice where you were treated unjustly, unfairly? Listen, maybe it's fear. you have this fear. You know, I think it was Yoda who said, fear is the path to the dark side. What's that mean? Fear leads to anger, and anger leads to hate, and hate leads to suffering. If you hate somebody, then you're suffering. Or how about hurt? Has someone hurt you? So you're going to hurt someone else? Or frustration? You know, Donna was telling me about one of her little preschool kids at VBS down in the craft area. He was having trouble getting the back off of his sticker. And he just grabbed a hold of that sticker and he just shook it. Literally, that's the way you told me. It's what he did, right? I'm so angry. He's just frustrated. Sounds childish, doesn't it? We expect children to do that when they're frustrated. But we do it too, don't we? When things aren't going the way we want them to, we get angry and we act out. Amen? Like when you're headed down Route 2, you thought I was going to leave that go, didn't you? When you're headed down Route 2 and you're stuck behind someone going 23 mile an hour. I wonder how I know it was 23 mile per hour. You're going 23 mile per hour. Do you not act in frustrate out and anger out of frustration? Listen, just so you know, that's self-centered anger. So this week I want you to examine yourselves in this. Listen, this is an individual assignment. I don't want you to assess somebody else. I want you to assess you. This is an individual assignment. Examine yourselves, not your spouse, but you. And you figure out where you fit. What makes you sin in your anger? And how fast does it escalate? Are you just indignant? You just get angry and you hold it in and you seethe about it. It just seeps like all week. Or do you start shouting and screaming at the driver going 23 miles per hour? I love you. Jesus loves you too. Or do you escalate right to fury? And you start acting like you have no common sense whatsoever. What do you mean? Well, you come up on that blind turn and you decide to go around and turn and pass them on that blind turn, right? You're going to pass around them and then you get in front of them. What do you do? Oh, you've been there. You slam on those brakes. I'm going to show them. You pray for me. I struggle with this thing. Bad. And I have what on my license plates? I'm not too funny when your wife is beating you on the other sitting over there. Real good example you got. What? No, I got Jesus. They're going to need Jesus in a minute. Yeah, right. The question really comes, though, is what are people seeing? What Jesus is people seeing in you? Am I leading people to him or away from him? Where do you fit? So your assignment this week is to figure that out. And then we're going to come back and we will dig a little deeper in the topic of anger. There's a lot here. But listen, I want you to really do this. Okay? I struggle with it. All those areas that I talked about, I've struggled in every single one of them. And listen, if I don't think I'm missing the mark on this, I feel that most of us, not all of us, but most of us in this place are in that same place. We're not far off. So let's stand. our heads bowed and our eyes closed. God is speaking to your heart this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You say, you know what? I struggle with a lot of things. Anger is just one of them, but I struggle with many things. There's just so much going on in my life. Then I want you to understand something this morning. Listen, great news. God loves you. God loves you. He loves you so much that he sent his only son to die for you. And this morning, you can know the forgiveness and the love. You can know the acceptance, the embrace, the mercy, the grace of Almighty God through Jesus Christ, his son. So right now, in this moment, in this place, at this time, you can confess your sins to him and tell him. You would say, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I confess my sin to you. I cannot save myself. Oh, Lord Jesus, please, I ask you to forgive me. And right here, right now, in this place, in this time, you would look and say, Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on a cross for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being raised from the dead, and I receive you right now. I receive you right now. I receive your free gift of eternal life and forgiveness. Now listen, if you just looked at the Lord and spoke to him in your heart, and you prayed that prayer in your mind by faith and belief in God's word, let me tell you something. You need to come and share that. Come so that we can disciple you. Come because we want to walk with you. Come because we want to pray with you. We want to fellowship with you. Listen, I want to encourage you to come and make that decision known. Don't hide that decision, but make it known. Now, others of you here this morning, God is speaking to your heart. You've been coming to church for a while. You have feel drawn here. Listen, I encourage you to come, and we can set up a time to discuss membership. Or maybe this is a struggle in your life. You struggle with anger. Maybe you're struggling with that. Maybe you need to come as a family. Maybe you need to come individually. Maybe you need to come as a couple. Husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend. Listen, I have no idea what God is saying to you, but I do know this. God speaks when his word is preached, amen? And I know this, that God is speaking right now. So Lord Jesus, in our hearts, Lord Jesus, please, in our hearts, convict us where we need to be convicted. Reveal to us, Father, where we fit into this category of anger. Help us, Father, to know when we sin in our anger. But Father, we pray also, help us to realize that as Christians, we can have victory over this. We're not defenseless because we have you. We have you in us. And you demonstrated toward us, you demonstrated your love toward us when you had